We'll turn now to the book of Romans, chapter 6. We'll continue our study in the book of Romans, this morning looking at verses 11 through 14. What are we supposed to do with all of the leftover sin that we have? Christ died to save us from our sins, but don't you still feel that sin is lurking inside? Paul says that we've died to sin. Doesn't it feel like sin is not dead? We've been set free from sin. Doesn't sin still bother you? What are we supposed to do with all of the leftover sin that is still within us? Romans 1 through 5 is all about how God changes our status. As sinners, we are under God's righteous condemnation. We're enemies of God. But God loves us so much that He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, into the world to die in our place, to redeem us and to save us from our sins. And embracing Jesus Christ in faith, we are justified, we are forgiven, our guilt is gone, we have peace with God, we become friends of God. Romans 6 is now concerned with how God changes our character. What we call sanctification. To be set apart, not just on paper, as it were, but in our daily lives, in our character. We're now connected to Jesus Christ, so that we have died to sin. We are set free. We are no longer slaves to sin. So what am I supposed to do now when sin wants to take back over? Let's begin at verse 1 and we'll read down to verse 14, Romans 6. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were therefore buried with Him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with Him in a death like His, we will certainly also be united with Him in a resurrection like His. For we know that our old self was crucified with Him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with Him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, He cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over Him. The death He died to sin once for all. But the life He lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. And offer every part of yourself to Him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God endures forever. First of all, this morning, a warning about two extremes that we can go in. A ditch on either side of the road as we go through life. On one side, there's the ditch of discouragement. Even though we're dead to sin, what we find is that sin is not dead in us. And even though we're no longer slaves to sin, what we find is sin is still lurking within us. And it's bothering us, and it's constantly trying to get back in control of us. Now, this is implied in verse 12. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Sin no longer reigns, but it wants to. It will try. It will cry out for your attention. It will try to squirm back into the driver's seat. And that can be discouraging. I'm a Christian now. Why do I have all of these problems? Why do I still get angry? Why do I lose patience? Why am I so unkind to other people? Why am I so selfish? Why do I give in so easily to what I know is the wrong thing to do? I pray, but it doesn't seem to work. Why even try? It's hopeless. I'm probably not a Christian. Don't get stuck in that ditch. Weighed down with a sense of your sin. Paul's going to tell us here how to stay on the road and to keep going. But then watch out for the ditch that's on the other side of the road, the ditch of, I don't care. You know, if you're driving down the road and your wheel goes off the side of the road, and they have signs every so often telling you not to do this, but your wheel will go off the road and you want to get back on and you're not slowing down and you turn the wheel and you have to turn it even further to get onto the road and you overcorrect, where do you end up? Ditch on the other side. The ditch of I don't care. What's the big deal? Nobody's perfect. Everybody sins. Can't be helped. Besides, I'm saved by grace. It's not by works. It's not by any effort on my part. I'm not under the law. I'm under grace. When I sin, God will forgive. That's what grace is all about. And so why care about something that I can't help? Don't slip into that ditch. Don't ever make peace with your sin. Don't ever brush it off and say that it's no big deal. Don't ever make excuses or presume upon God's grace. Well, I can sin and God will forgive. Remember that people who slip into this ditch die. People who don't care about sin are spiritually dead. They're not connected to Christ. That's not who you are. So don't stay there in that ditch. Get back on the road and keep going. And God promises that you can. Verse 14. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but you are under grace. That's God's promise. Sin shall no longer be your master. And this has been his argument through chapter 6. You're dead to sin. You no longer work for sin. Sin is not your boss. Sin is not in control. Sin is not in charge. Sin has no authority, no power over you. Sin shall no longer be your master. Because you are not under law. It's not just you and your shadow against sin. It's not just you taking the Ten Commandments and saying, you know, I'm just going to do the best that I can in saying no to these things. I'm going to follow this list of rules. It's not just you all by yourself saying no to sin. You're not under law, but under grace. The resource that God gives you is not just a list of rules that says do this, don't do that. The resource that God gives you is His own sovereign, enabling, amazingly powerful grace that enables you to do the very things that God calls you to do. Romans 6:14 is not an excuse to do nothing about your sin. So many people misread this verse in that sense. I'm not under law, I'm under grace. Don't tell me to pray. Don't tell me to read my Bible or come to church on a regular basis. Don't tell me to mortify my sin or to say no to sin or to pursue holiness. I'm not under the law, I'm under grace. Romans 6:14 is not an excuse. It's a promise for success against your sin. Sin shall no longer be your master because you were not under law, but you were under grace. Now for the instructions, verses 11, 12, and 13. We're not under law, but we're under grace. And this is how God's grace flows to us. This is how you and I become transformed people. Not just on paper, as it were, but in our daily lives, in our character. This is how we become transformed. Two thoughts here. First of all, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Think about who you are, is what Paul now says, verse 11. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. For the first time in the book of Romans, Paul tells us to do something. He hasn't told us a single thing to do yet. I think a lot of people in America, at least churches, would get very frustrated with Paul's sermon. Give us something to do. You know, three steps so that I can write it out. Paul hasn't said a thing to do. Not once has he told us a thing to do. Romans 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, first 10 verses of Romans 6. It's all been information. He's been giving us the facts. He's been teaching us doctrine. You know, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. God sent Christ into the world to be that sacrifice of atonement, a propitiation for sinners. By faith in Him, we are justified, we are forgiven, we have peace with God, we become friends with God. You're united, you're connected to Jesus Christ, linked in with Him in His death and resurrection. That union is so intimate that whatever happened to Jesus happened to you. You died to sin, you're alive to God. Not once has Paul told us to do anything. And now for the first time he does. And what he says is think. Use your brains. Think about who you are. Do the math. The word that he uses here in Romans 6:11 is borrowed from the world of economics. It has to do with math. Calculate, count, reckon yourself to be dead to sin. It's not make-believe. It's not the power of positive thinking. It's not dreaming. It's not wishing. Paul says, look at the facts. He's given you a lot to think about. Romans 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, first 10 verses of Romans 6. Think about the facts. Think about the information. Think about what God himself says, the God of truth. Verse 3, don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Verse 6, for we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. These are things that we know. Verse 9, we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. In this same way, calculate, consider, reckon, think about yourself. Think about who you are, dead to sin. Be transformed by filling your mind with what God says is true about you. Christ died. I'm connected to Christ, and so I died to sin, and I'm alive to God. And then Paul says, be who you are. Think about who you are. Think about the truth, but then be who God says that you are. Be transformed by offering yourself and all that you have to God as a living sacrifice. Verse 12. Do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. And do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness. Just say no to sin. You're dead to it. You don't have to do what it says. You know, I don't have to get angry here. I don't have to lose my patience. I don't have to be unkind. I can say no to these wrong desires and urges that I feel. And just say no to whenever sin wants to use something that belongs to you. Don't let sin take up any part of your body as a tool for sinning. Eyes, ears, mouth, hands, feet, mind, emotions, will, memories of your past, or dreams that you have for the future. Don't let sin take any of that and use it to accomplish something that's contrary to God's will. Think about who you are, be who you are, dead to sin. But it's not enough just to say no. You've got to turn around then and say yes to God. Jesus says you can cast out a demon, sweep the room clean, make it all nice and beautiful. Nobody moves in and occupies if the room isn't put to good use. What happens? 7 demons more filthy than the first will come back and live. You can't just say no to sin. You can't just concentrate on the negative aspect of the Christian life of don't do this. You've got to turn around and say yes to everything that God wants you to do. Which is what Paul says halfway through verse 13. Verse 13, do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to Him as an instrument of righteousness. Eyes, ears, mouth, hands, feet, mind, emotions, will, gifts, talents, time, memories, dreams that you have, anything that you have, everything that you have. And Paul says you can do this. God promises, verse 14, sin shall no longer be your master because you are not under the law. It's not just you following a bunch of rules. You are not under law. You are under grace. So what do we do with all of this leftover sin that we've still got? We're dead to sin, but sin is not dead in us. As long as we live, we will continue, as Paul did. See this in Romans 7. He continued to struggle with sin. Don't let that discourage you. At the same time, don't take it lightly. God has promised that you can make real progress in the Christian life. God's amazing grace is at work in your life. Be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Think about who you are in Christ, dead to sin, alive to God. Memorize these verses. Memorize scripture that says exactly who you are in God's eyes. Meditate on the facts. This is how you renew your mind. You memorize scripture, you think about it, you meditate on it, you think about it deeply. You wake up in the morning and you remind yourself, a post-it note on your forehead if you have to, you know, I am dead to sin, I'm alive in Christ. That's not just wishful thinking or positive thinking. It's what God says, the God of truth. And so you tell yourself that as you wake up. Believe what God says about you. You know, the gospel is believing something about Jesus Christ, but it's also believing something about yourself, what God says. And then be transformed by offering all that you are and all that you have to God for His service. Make up a list of everything that you have, literally. And for some of you, it might be a post-it note. That's all you'll need. I don't have that much. Other than a legal pad. But literally, write down the things that you have, possessions, but also the gifts and talents that you have, the time that you have. As you look around yourself, you come to church or you're interacting with Christian friends, things that bother you, that concern you. Why doesn't anybody do anything about this? Write it down. Those are things that God is placing upon your heart. Make up a list of everything that you have, literally, gifts, talents, time, possessions, dreams. And then show the list to God. Ask Him to take it piece by piece. Use you. Use what you have for the glory of His kingdom. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good and pleasing and perfect will. Let's pray. Father, we simply pray what we have been thinking about. Take away all discouragement. Don't allow us to sit in that ditch, to feel the weight of our sins. feel helpless. And don't allow us to take our sin lightly, to simply excuse it and to go on. We pray that by your own Spirit and the Word of Truth, that you would renew our minds and fill us with that energy that we need, that commitment that we need to follow you, and to offer ourselves and everything that we have that you might be pleased and that we might find pleasure in your service. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.